The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, cut it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Little difficult to say praise to you, O Christ, after such a stern reading as that, isn't it? So, let's back up and get the 9,000-foot picture. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who grieve and those who are lonely. Do you remember the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount a couple weeks ago when Keith preached for us? The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is laying out the vision of God's kingdom and what it can look like. A friend of mine says that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the whole of chapter 5 in Matthew, can be compared to Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream" speech. Jesus is laying out the vision of what God's kingdom can look like. And then last week we heard that we are salt and light, and we participate in bringing that kingdom about and participating in God's righteousness. But today's texts sound harsh. They are a continuation of this kingdom. Jesus is saying, don't stay angry. Don't commit adultery. Don't divorce. Mind your boundaries. Mind your relationships. These aren't just another moral task for us to live up to, but they speak to a larger community, a community of the whole. One of my jobs as a teenager was working at Burger King. Yes, I did go home smelling like a French fry after every shift. But a favorite memory of this job was a man that came through the drive-thru lane every day at 3 p.m. He and the manager had made a deal with each other. He came through the drive-thru at 3 p.m. and the manager gave him 2 plain hamburgers for half price. These meat patties would have already spent too long on the warming oven, so the manager would have thrown them out anyway. So he could come by, get 2 meat patties, 2 plain hamburgers for half price. Now you might be thinking that the manager just had a soft spot for this old guy who needed a little extra food. Nope. The hamburgers were for his barking dog in the back seat. This little snippy thing. So the man would unwrap the burgers and throw them in the back seat and say, "Eat!" And the manager took his time and collecting the money, and he'd chat him up, and, you know, they'd spend 5 minutes, or if nobody was behind him. Yeah. What would this man's life have been like had he not been able to go to Burger King every day and have that interaction? Less happy, less fulfilled. Blessed are the lonely when someone else remembers them. Back to Matthew. The first lesson of Deuteronomy that Joyce just read for us from Deuteronomy. Moses is saying to the people, choose life, okay? They're on the edge of the promised land. They are about to go into the promised land, that land that God had prepared for them. And Moses was reminding them of how they needed to live, what kind of people they needed to be to take advantage of this promised land that God had prepared. And so Moses says, choose life, love God, walk in his ways, obey his commandments, and you will have life for you and your descendants. Choose life. So you see, for God's people, Israel, they understood the law was there to protect them and keep them safe from chaos. It was there for their good. I want you to remember that the law equals life. Not just a list of behaviors that I have to do, but God's law promises life for me. Here's an example that we might better understand. We have stoplights at intersections, right? We might be irritated if we're running late that we have to wait a minute or two at a stoplight. Ho-hum, I want to get going. But stoplights are good because if I ran that stoplight and ran into another car, that would be harm for me and the other person. The law equals life. It is good to it is there to protect us. For Israel, why should they have the commandment about not coveting a neighbor's wife or a neighbor's livestock or a neighbor's property? Most of us don't live next to somebody that owns a cow, right? But it wouldn't be good for us to go and steal our neighbor's motorcycle. It would make him angry. There would be division in the neighborhood. It would break down community. The law is there to bring life and protect us. So it's one thing intellectually to agree to God's laws. It's a whole different thing to practice God's laws. And I have no idea if that Burger King manager was a Christian. I have no idea what motivated him to be kind to this old guy. But what I do know is that it made a difference for that man, which then impacted that whole community. Really? Well, yeah. One person's actions can impact a whole community. Think about this. Little Aiden and Taylor gave us Valentine's today. Their actions brought smiles to all of our faces, impacted a whole community. Did you watch the Super Bowl last weekend? For the two of you that are Patriots fans out there, good job. Congratulations. The rest of us are still crying for Atlanta. But we saw play after play that demonstrate that one person's actions impact the whole. So James White's 2-yard stretch touchdown to win that game was not just a victory for himself, it was a victory for the whole franchise. They all got to party. And Tom Brady, well, he could throw passes all day long, sun up to sundown, just beautiful passes. But if he's not throwing to another person on the team, the ball never gets down the field. You have to work together in community, and our actions impact the larger whole. So remember that. And while it might be easy to understand a team analogy, it becomes a bit harder when we talk about community. Especially because right now we live in such a time of rugged isolation and individualism. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Pull up your bootstraps. Just do it. Don't be weak. Don't ask for help. Well, that's not the way it works in God's world. He wants us to be in community. And here's my point. When we remember someone, we remember them. Let me say that again. When we remember someone, when we invite them back into community, we remember them. We are all members of a church. We are members of a city of Loveland. We are members of the county of Larimer County. And our actions make people either feel excluded or included. And so we get remembered when we reach out and pull someone in. Jesus says then about this community. He says, if you know of someone who's angry at you, go first to them and reconcile. I know very well, personally, that anger is not something that's always easy to deal with. But he has a point. Our world would look really different if all of us worked to be intentional about mending our differences and not being angry at one another. And then he speaks about the pain of adultery. Adultery breaks up marriages. It tears down self-esteem. It hurts innocent children. It takes people out of community when it's exposed. It might feel intimate at first, but then it excludes. Jesus is saying, take care of yourself so that you don't stray. Pay attention to your own loneliness and do something about that so that you don't hurt relationships. It breaks down community. He's saying the same things about divorce. Jesus doesn't want women to be treated like a piece of property. And in that day, they were. A man could divorce a woman for any reason at all. If she burns the toast, she's out of the house. Jesus is saying, don't treat her like a piece of property. Don't swear. Fulfill your word and work to sustain your relationships. Here's a story for you. There was a man who worked in a small church-related college. It was a small church college, and he was on staff. His wife was a faculty member, and she began having an affair with another male professor. This went on for some time, and other faculty noticed the infidelity, but they didn't say anything about it because it wasn't any of my business. Then when the marriage finally started to really collapse, the husband went to the college president very, very upset. And he said, I find out now that all of you knew what was going on. You knew about the infidelity. You knew and you didn't tell me. You didn't confront my wife. So what kind of a Christian community is this? Did you not love us enough to say anything? Did you not remember that all of you were at our wedding when you promised to support this relationship? Isn't the other side of coveting someone's wife holding up and praying for and protecting a marriage? I've been betrayed not only by my wife, but by all of you. The law is there to bring life. Jesus says there is a community at stake. And our individual actions affect the whole community. And if the poor will be blessed, and the lonely will be blessed, and those who grieve will be blessed, then how does that look? And who will remember people so that they all feel part of the whole? God's law is not just a demand for us to be better people and do better things. No, God's law is there to protect us, to bring real life, true life, honest life, sometimes challenging life when we need to have conversations that are difficult. So my question for us today is, who in this community of our church or this city or our county, who do we need to remember to remember and bring back in? May God help us do that. Amen.